For years, we've known that the representation of female and non-white people in video games can be problematic. And we know that because of gamers and game reviewers who've pointed out sexism and racism and said, hey, something ought to be done here. But starting recently, there's been a backlash. The movement calls itself Gamergate. These people claim they're fighting the gaming media's liberal bias and accuse reporters of cronyism. But Gamergate has spiraled out of control pretty fast and turned into a campaign of harassment and intimidation. People identifying themselves as Gamergate have threatened to rape and kill game developers like Brianna Wu and critics like Anita Sarkeesian. Sarkeesian recently canceled a talk at Utah State University after a threat of a mass shooting because state law prohibited the university from screening the audience for weapons. We invited Addie Robertson, who writes for the technology website The Verge, to talk about Gamergate and how it came to this and what it means. Addie, welcome to Studio 360.
Hi, thanks for inviting me.
So Gamergate has been named and going on for a few months. How did it start?
So arguably it really started in 2012, when the video game critic and sort of feminist critic Anita Sarkeesian started a Kickstarter for a bunch of videos critiquing representation of women in games. And this really huge backlash started that never has really gone away. She's sort of been harassed since then. But the thing that we actually now know as Gamergate started in mid-August when the ex-boyfriend of a developer named Zoe Quinn, who made a text game called Depression Quest that the same people also hated, posted a long post about how she had cheated on him. And one of the people she had cheated on him with, he said, was a reporter at Kotaku.
Yeah. And that part of the soap opera, when I've come to that in reading about it in the last couple of months, I go like, who cares? But really, that's just a kind of a pretext, right? For this, what has been tapped into is this larger rage and anger among some fraction of the gamer community.
Yeah. So a lot of factors sort of made it spiral. One of the things was that Anita Sarkeesian had a video that had come out really during this and kind of enraged everyone, as these always do. And then a games critic named Lee Alexander and an academic both published articles where the vague idea was gamers are over, everybody's a gamer now, it doesn't mean anything as an identity. And that felt like a sort of slap in the face to people who think that, okay, they're gamers, this is our identity, and they're telling us we're over.
So it was all these things converging at a moment. And the targeting we're talking about is electronic and anonymous, and no actual attacks have happened, right?
Yes. I mean, what makes it sort of more than just sending a threat that, like, an angry email is that they found people's addresses and they've, I believe, they've called the family of Zoe Quinn.
So there are these indie progressive games whose sales are a tiny fraction of the big games. That upsets these Gamergate guys as well, yeah?
Yeah, well, a lot of it's just that they're being reviewed. People are very angry, for example, that the video game Gone Home got the same score as the, which is a sort of small walk-around game, the same score as the very large video game Bioshock Infinite. And then they're also upset about, basically, that reviews are not written like consumer reports anymore, that they're written like film reviews, and that they're not focusing on, you know, the graphics or the gameplay. You know, like someone wrote a Grand Theft Auto 5 review and gave it like a 9.5 instead of a 10, saying like, yeah, look, this game's kind of sexist. And people freaked out and called for her to get fired.
That's interesting. So it's a lot of things. One of the things it seems to be is objecting to the kind of natural and, it seems to me, salutary evolution of gaming into this art form, like movies in the 30s and 40s.
Yeah, I think part of it's this sort of general nerd identity, that the idea is that there was this sort of insular, supposedly, community, and this was a thing that you were, and now they feel like people are co-opting it,
yeah,
even if that's basically just it being more popular.
And if 35 million people buy the latest Grand Theft Auto, like, how much of a cult identity can that be?
Yeah, I mean, the same thing happens with superheroes and comics, that there was this
right.
whole sort of fake geek girl accusation against women who read comics but don't read them well enough.
I was wondering, given that, you know, gamers spend a lot of time pursuing and enacting the fantasy of gaming, is part of it that these real-world considerations of politics and sexism and all the rest are intruding into their pure fantasy world, and that in some way that they're not even quite conscious of is freaking them out?
I think they're pretty conscious of it. People have written to me and they've said that, look, like, I'm a gamer. I like to play games. I like to not have to be reminded of all of this stuff in the real world. Like, you know, whether there are women, I don't want to have to be reminded that people think I'm sexist. I don't want to have to be reminded of all this. They use the phrase political correctness a lot, or censorship.
How large a fraction of gamers do you think the Gamergate people represent?
I mean, first of all, it depends on what you call gamers, because if you're just talking about play games, it's an incredibly tiny fraction.
Right.
If you're talking about the people who have tended to call themselves hardcore gamers,
right,
I'd still say it's a tiny fraction.
Do you feel like this is a passing thing, this backlash, and gaming culture and the industry will just keep evolving and this will have been a odd bump in the road? Or is it some terrible, irredeemable thing in gaming culture?
I think it's arguably more of a terrible thing in internet culture, that this is kind of the final state of a lot of free-floating harassment and anger that's been going around for years. And it's also a little bit the dark side of, like, hacktivist groups like Anonymous.
Uh-huh.
It's these groups of people who have a lot of free time, who are just really dedicated to bringing something down, whether or not that is in any way proportionate.
Addie Robertson, this has been very interesting. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Addie Robertson is a reporter for The Verge. So, what do you all think? Is this just a problem with video game geeks? Or is it something broader and deeper, a problem with anonymous nastiness on the internet in general? Let us know at studio360.org.